God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from Luke chapter 3 as we hear the message of John the Baptist. Before we get into our text, let me just use as an introduction a little bit from my past. I know this is going to sound a little strange because of my voice and my current shape, but I'm hoping that it does get healthier and I'm able to sing in the choir. But while I was in elementary school, in choir class, I remember the choir director always telling me to sit up straight. And the reason behind this, I was told, was, you know, to get better support, to get some better air volume, to have better control, so that I would sound better, sing better, be part of the choir better. And what was my youthfulness reaction? Yeah. I always had a sneaky suspicion in the back of my mind that the only reason why the choir director would say that was just to make sure that I was awake. And yes, then I would sit up for a while, but then the slouches would sort of come back in again. And then I would have to be reminded again, time to sit up straight. In high school, I was hoping that being in the choir, things were going to be changing since, you know, now I'm a little bit more mature. Yeah, I have a few years of singing in choir under my belt. I know all these things. And guess what? Things didn't change at all. The choir director still looked at me and said, sit up straight. It wasn't until I got to college that things were much better. I didn't hear the constant direction of that director saying, sit up straight. It's going, wow, this is great. I didn't need to be reprimanded. I have a director who understood things. But then I noticed something else instead. I noticed that, you know, when my singing wasn't the best, if I actually sat up straight, it sounded a lot better. Wow, it would actually dramatically improve. What a new concept. It only took me 10 years to finally realize it and to put it into action. I guess for us as Lutherans, because I was Lutheran at the time, sometimes we do need to hear things over and over and over again. You see, it was only after I finally realized the benefits of sitting up straight and what it did for me and how my incorporation with the choir and how it helped them that I finally get to the realization that, yes, it's good to sit up. Now, as some of you may know, when my voice is in shape, I sing with the adult choir. And please don't ask the choir directors. Do I always sit up straight? I'll just fess up and say, no, I still need to have that reminder from time to time. And this is where our text comes in. Because as Christians, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how many times have we heard this message of repent? We should hear this message every Advent and every Lent. These are penitential times of the church here. Before every feast, there's always a fast. Before the Feast of the Nativity, we have that penitential time of fasting. That's called Advent. The world, however, is in a different set of preparation than as Christians we are in. The world gets ready for this special day, and they'll call it as Christmas, as a great big blockbuster, a kind of an annual consumer feeding frenzy. Indulging on stuff and more stuff, going from party and more party, from food to more food. And when it's all over, what do you get? A few pounds heavier. And on Christmas, the day after Christmas, December 26, a big pile of wrapping paper, or trips to the store for those after Christmas sales. Now, since the church is made up of people in this world, we also may be guilty of some of this, and I'm not saying that it's all wrong, but for the Christian, there should be a little bit more to celebrating the Feast of the Nativity than just everything I've just mentioned. You see, when Christmas comes, it's more than just a one-day event. It lingers on. You are familiar with the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? How long does Christmas last? 12 days. But Christmas and the Feast of the Nativity goes on beyond that. It lingers on through Epiphany, sort of the Gentiles' Christmas, and all the way clear until Lent. Then we begin another season, a penitential season, preparing ourselves now for the Feast of the Resurrection. as Christians, we realize that there's a second set of preparation that's a little bit different than what the world is doing. Christmas hasn't begun yet. We're still in Advent. We're still getting ourselves ready. And we also may be sending cards. We also may be decorating our homes. We also may be going to parties. But it's the readiness of the heart that God desires at His coming. I don't know if you caught the opening words of the prayer of the day, the collect. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son. Notice who's doing the action. We are petitioning God to do the action. God to do the stirring up of our hearts. God to get us ready for the coming of His only begotten Son. And that's exactly the message of John the Baptist for today. That's why John was sent. He was sent as the forerunner. The one who was going to prepare the way for the people that, yes, their Savior was going to come. A ready heart. This is what John was looking for. John was advocating. John was promoting. There's a reason why. Because, yes, our Savior is coming. And it's interesting to note that in our text, John really gets to the point. And he doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't sort of soft pedal it either. I don't know if you caught those words in our text. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now that would make a good praise hymn, wouldn't you think? Bear fruit or you're tossed into the fire. John does not mince words. He gets straight to the point. This is what's expected. Except for, how is our preparing for the way of the Lord coming? When we see the hammer of the law come down us, we realize that, yes, we failed miserably. And that's why we need the gospel message. The gospel message of God's grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The way of the Lord is repentance, yes. It calls for change, a change of heart and a change of mind, which only God can work within us by the power of His Holy Spirit through His Word. And this is what we need during this Advent season, a change. So we need to straighten up our hearts and our lives. Clean out our messed up hearts that are so cluttered with sin. Clean out our lives littered with shame, with death, so that they will be overflowed with the love that comes from Christ alone. Now, I will admit, and as you probably know this also, change is not easy. Even for us Lutherans, especially it's difficult. As my illustration here of using myself in choir, I still fall into the slouches from time to time. And yes, I still need to be reminded to sit up straight. So it is for us, because the death of our habits, our sinful habits, is very difficult. Such habits do die hard. It's always easy to love and to serve ourselves than it is for us to love and serve our neighbor or to serve God. It's always easier for us and naturally for our hearts to lash out with anger when we feel hurt and we feel rejection. It's always easier for us to return evil for evil, to repay injury with injury. It's always easier to cut people down than to love them and encourage them, and to build them up. It's easier for the sinful heart to curse, swear, lie, and deceive by God's name than it is to pray, praise, and give thanks. That's why the path that our Lord puts before us is the path of the cross. So it is also for us as Christians. We realize that we need to take our sinfulness, our sinful nature, our disobedience, and go to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Realize that that's why Jesus had to take on flesh and blood. This is why He had to die on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can experience the joy of being forgiven. This is why the Christian life is a life full of repentance, a continual vigil for change of heart and mind. First, we confess our sins. And then, as 1 John reminds us, God is faithful and just and forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But the road that we take in life is filled with many challenges, many bumps. Getting back to my illustration for a moment, again, I even fess up, I still need that encouragement. Yes, there was a little bit of a difference for me when I finally got to college and I finally realized that what a difference it makes in my singing ability if I actually do what the director says. So it is also in our Christian life. What happens if we actually read God's Word? When we receive the sacrament, be strengthened by it, be encouraged by fellow Christians, does that make any difference in our lives to sort of straighten up? And the answer is yes. Let me use another illustration here. Have you ever seen someone who's really down and out, where everything in life seems to be falling apart, but yet still they maintain their faith? They still hang on to that faith that God has given to them and still assure that God still loves them. Even though that they're in pain and misery, even though things aren't going their way. And then compare and contrast that with, unfortunately, some people who I've seen where the first little bump in the road, they turn their back on God and saying, forget this God thing, he's not there, and they walk away. What's the difference? The difference is the person who finally realizes that what that gospel message does. What is the forgiveness of sins all about? That yes, we have a God who does love us and encourage us. That yes, there's going to be some difficult times. There's going to be some hard paths. And as the bulletin cover depicts, sometimes in our lives where we may feel like we're out in this wilderness, but we are not alone. The path you walk on may seem rugged at times, may seem very steep. The pathway may be long and hard, but as long as we realize that the Lord is still connected to us. You see, do we not remember that God put His name upon us when we were baptized? We have the Holy Spirit within us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us. And when times get rough, He is still there. He has not forgotten us. The difference in the reaction between these two people is how disciplined have they been in standing up straight? How disciplined have they been in being connected to God's Word, where the strength comes from? How disciplined have they been in saying, yes, Lord, I need this new spirit. I need you to do what our offertory says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is God's work, God's willingness, God's doing. But do we want it? So when the director says, David, sit up straight. Do I sit there and go, yeah, I've heard this before. Humor for a little bit. And then go back to the slouches? Or do I pay attention? John the Baptist is stirring up our hearts during this Advent season. A time for change, a new way. He reminds us that, yes, God is working. He brings down the mountain peaks of our lofty pride. He straightens us out of our crooked ways. And how is this done? Well, as our text notes, each person is done a little bit differently. There are different things for different people depending on who they are and where they are in life. But you can tell one thing from John's instructions. The people heard his preaching. For tax collectors, the way of the Lord meant to be honest. For soldiers, it meant to be content and not to take what didn't belong to them. But for everyone, it meant generosity and mercy. No one is excused from that. Giving food and clothing to those who had none for Jesus' sake. How is this done? It's done by God's doing again. By God's grace, that's how. The Son of God who came down from heaven, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, does change hearts and makes them anew. Do you not believe this? I believe that if I sit up straight, I sing better. I also believe that the Holy Spirit has the power and does want to change my heart. That's why God, our second person of the Trinity, Jesus the Christ, left the Father's throne in lowly meekness, to take on flesh and blood, to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, for one purpose, to be closer to you. You see, that's one thing as a Christian we need to realize, is that God is not up there in some distant heaven. He is with you, closer than you are when you're holding your own child, because He is in your heart. This Lord Jesus has the ability now to sweep the cobwebs, so to speak, out of our heart, to make them fit for His final coming. He will straighten the crooked paths which we have wandered away from our Father's house to bring us back home again. He will tear down our stubborn pride. He will melt our hard-hardened hearts, all to enfold us with His love. He will lift us out of the pits of our despair and grief, and He comforts us with the presence of His Holy Spirit and restores us to the joy of salvation. So this is what it means to get ready. Get ready, for the feast of the Nativity is coming, and coming soon. Above else, we get ready by preparing our hearts. So this Advent season, let us draw our comfort and our joy from the reality that Christ has actually come in flesh, and that He will come again at the end of time. But when He comes this day, He comes this day also in this very words of the gospel and the sacrament that we're about ready to receive. He gives of His own flesh and body to strengthen you, to encourage you, to make you new, whole, and free. So we prepare for His coming. And so let this be our Advent prayer, as we prayed in the collect, "Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of Your only begotten Son." So we say, we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." Using the words of the offertory again, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We'll sing those words of Psalm chapter 51, verse 10 in a little bit, as we understand that, yes, He is coming, and coming soon. We ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us and to keep us in His grace. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all our understanding, will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.